You're listening to the weekly sermon from Clarkston United Methodist Church in Michigan. We are a church dedicated to connecting people to people and people to God. To learn more, visit us at clarkstonumc.org.
Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Good and gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, earlier I shared that one of my favorite traditions is the nativity. When I was a little girl, we had a plastic nativity set, and that was because my mom knew that we would play with it and everything, which we wanted to do. My dad had built a wooden stable for it, and that set is in some of my memories as what it's supposed to look like. There was Joseph who wore brown and Mary who wore blue and the shepherd in yellow, the wise men in jewels. There was a cow and a donkey and a little sheep, and baby Jesus was in pink with a halo laid in the manger. But I loved the Mary. I loved her blue dress. I loved her straight blonde hair that was maybe not very accurate, but she was beautiful and she was sweet. I shared with you before that when I was a kid and we had a pageant, I never got to be Mary. I always wanted to be, but I never got to be. I think every girl wants to. When I was older, though, I remembered this past week as Pastor Megan and I were talking and sharing some stories. I remember that I actually, as an adult, got to be Mary when my daughter Allison was 4 months old. So Mike, my husband, was Joseph, and I was Mary, and we had little baby Allison, baby Jesus. And at that church that I was serving, they had the tradition of a Christmas program, a play that was about an hour and a half, maybe even more, longer. And the Holy Family had to stay on the stage the entire time. So we sat there, and I prayed that no crying she make, and she did good. She did not. It was like she knew she had to be Jesus, and I, as Mary, was able to finally kind of relax. I wonder next week at our pageant how many kids will want to be Mary. Today we talk about Mary, her calling. She reminds us of the promise of the Christ child, all he will do, all he will be. And that promise reminds us that God is with us, that God knows us, that God loves us, that God remembers us. And that's an important reminder for Advent, as we've talked about Advent. We know that it's a time of waiting and wondering and sometimes loneliness, that it's a time when we are looking for hope and joy. And it's times like this especially that we need to remember that God is with us, that God knows us. But maybe, just maybe, there have been times in your life when you didn't want to be remembered, when maybe you wanted to be forgotten, maybe not by God, but by others. There have been times in my life that I've wanted to be forgotten, not considered. Times in ministry when I didn't want to move, and I wanted the bishop to forget me. There were times in school when I didn't know the answer, and so I avoided eye contact and wanted the teacher to forget me and not call on me. Times when I was young and I was hoped that my parents would forget me so that I could stay longer at my friends' houses. It very well might be possible that Mary wanted to be forgotten. Mary was young. She was engaged, so probably not longing for a child at that point, because she was barely a child herself. We can deduce that there was a bit of an age gap between Mary and Joseph. At that time, girls traditionally married at a young age, and once they were through puberty, they were considered of marriageable age. Men were usually older when they married so that they had time to learn a trade. And so in this situation, Mary was a girl. Joseph was a carpenter. It's likely they didn't know each other well. We can assume it was an arranged marriage, as was the tradition. Mary came with a dowry and the promise that she was a virgin. In his book, Journey, Adam Hamilton explains, according to custom, there would be a year-long legal engagement followed by a formal ceremony. Finally, a couple would consummate the marriage. No, there was likely no longing for a child for Mary. She was just a girl engaged to a man who could have her stoned for turning up pregnant because it was basically committing adultery. And she was violating a contract. But he listened to the angel, and he stayed with her. And Mary is sent off to hide with her cousin Elizabeth for her own good, for her own safety. To look at Mary and Joseph, there's nothing considerably outstanding about them. They're a pretty typical couple for their age and station. In fact, they could have easily been overlooked, forgotten. And given all the social rules that this pregnancy broke, they just may have wished that they were forgotten. A few years ago, Reverend Christian Kuhn wrote in a blog for Christian Century, talking about a Christmas pageant that happened in his church and how he was watching the church kids. They came wanting to be in the program. They dress up like angels or wise men or shepherds and sheep and donkeys. None of the boys were fighting over the chance to be Joseph. Joseph doesn't have any lines. But when the director asked who would like to be Mary, all of the hands shot up. The girls jumped up and down. Every one of them wanted to be Mary. She was the star. But then Chris asked the question, do you think Mary wanted to be Mary? You see, Mary and Joseph were outstanding. They weren't typical. They said yes to God, even if maybe they weren't sure they wanted to. The angel spoke to Mary, told her that she was to have a child, and she responded, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." She trusted God and had faith in God's plan. I recently came across the poem called Annunciation, by Denise Levertov, and I want to share it with you. We know the scene, the room variously furnished, almost always a lectern, a book, always that tall lily. Arrived on solemn grandeur of great wings, the angelic ambassador standing or hovering, whom she acknowledges a guest. But we are told of meek obedience. No one mentions courage. The engendering spirit did not enter her without consent. God waited. She was free to accept or to refuse, choice integral to humanness. Aren't there annunciations of one sort or another in most lives? Some unwillingly undertake great destinies, enact them in sullen pride, uncomprehending. More often, those moments when roads of light and storm open from darkness, and a man or a woman are turned away from in dread, in a wave of weakness and despair with relief. Ordinary lives continue. God does not smite them, but the gates close and the pathway vanishes. She'd been a child who played and ate and slept like any other child, but unlike others, wept only for pity, laughed in joy, not triumph. Compassion and intelligence fused in her, indivisible. Called to a destiny more momentous than any in all of time, she did not quail. She only asked a simple, "How can this be?" And gravely, courteously, took to heart the angel's reply, the astounding ministry she was offered, to bear in her womb infinite weight and lightness, to carry in hidden finite inwardness 9 months of eternity, to contain in slender vase of being the sum of power, in narrow flesh the sum of light, then bring to birth, push out into the air a man-child needing like any other milk and love. But who was God? This was the moment no one speaks of, when she could still refuse, a breath unbreathed spirit suspended, waiting. She did not cry, "I cannot, I'm not worthy, nor I have not the strength." She did not submit with gritted teeth, raging, coerced. Bravest of all humans, consent illumined her. The room filled with its light, the lily glowed in it, and the iridescent wings. Consent, courage unparalleled, opened her utterly. When writing about this poem, Sarah Clarkson said, "I hope that I can grow ever more like Mary in that intelligent recognition of God's work, the joining of God's love and will, the acceptance of the Almighty into the core of her being." In a sense, that's what's asked of every one of us, all who follow God. God remembered Mary, God called her, and she had faith and courage to do the hard thing, to trust the God she knew and believe in the possible. And Joseph did the same thing. Mary became his wife. Joseph trusted God, put his faith in God's plan, and because of them, we have a Savior who knows us, who remembers us, and reminds us that God is with us. God remembered Mary and Joseph, the faith they had, a faith in God that would lead them to saying yes. Here's Hamilton again. As we consider the moment of decision for Mary, we see in her a witness and an example of how we are meant to live. Her mission reminds us that God's call is sometimes difficult. It may lead us to set aside our own plans. It may mean giving up hopes and dreams we have cherished for a lifetime. It may mean risks. It may be frightening. What Mary teaches us is that God will not forget us. God may ask us to do scary things. God may push us out of our comfort zones, but God will not leave us. God knows us. We are on God's mind. God gives us the strength to do what God calls us to do so that we too can say, "Here am I, your servant." So when you find yourself sitting with the lonely, caring for the sick, holding the hand of the dying, speaking up for the outcast, reaching out to the desperate, praying for your enemies, feeding the hungry, fighting for the children, spending time with the grieving, embracing the outcast, building homes for those without, remember that the same God who called you to do that work, to be in that moment doing the work which tells others that God remembers them, is the same God who called Mary. The same God who calls you is the same God who called Mary. The same God that Mary trusted, the same God that never forgot Mary, the same God who will not forget you. God will be with you and equip you, so have the courage of Mary. Put your faith in God and see what God will do. For as the scripture said, there is nothing impossible with God. Amen.
You've been listening to the weekly sermon from Clarkston United Methodist Church in Michigan. We are a church dedicated to connecting people to people and people to God. To learn more, visit us at clarkstonumc.org.